Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of a city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
These little cards they give you if you're first time, raise your hand if you're a first time visitor, and you can get a free coffee. So ushers, if you could give them one of those cards, that'd be great. Enjoy some coffee after service. And then there's a Promises support group for parents dealing with family members that are addicted, which is Tuesdays at 7 p.m. And today is our Back to Church Sunday, and which also continues next Sunday, September 18th. And we are shooting for 100% attendance. Heck yeah, that'd be awesome. Have every chair filled in here. That'd be amazing. And the Next Step class is this afternoon. My house, the Trombies house, from 3:30 to 5:30. The Dream Team Rally is Sunday, September 25th, from 6 to 8 p.m. It's a really fun time. We just get together and just really talk about what makes a great team and really get people plugged in here at the church. Bridge 58, we're having a barbecue this Wednesday night, which is going to be amazing. So every youth out there, I'm looking at every one of you guys, invite your friends, invite those people at school that may not like youth group or just like food in general, and just be like, hey, we got food. And they'll be like, heck yeah, I like food. So they'll come. Ladies night out, September 16th at Jan Smith's house. My mom already talked about that. Which is at 7 p.m., and Jan has her own address. She knows where she lives. Men's breakfast is September 17th at Black Bear Diner at 8 a.m., super early. All-church workday, September 17th from 9:30 to 2. That's Saturday, I believe. This is pretty important because we're going to do lots of stuff in the church that day. We're going to have lots of people working and making new, maybe new sets for the stage and working with tech stuff. And there's lots of cleaning to do. And it's just going to be a really great day to make this place look really great. October 1st, 2nd, Jim Rogan is going to be here again from Germany. And he's going to teach a Saturday Bible school from 8:30 to 1:30. And that's going to be awesome. I love Jim Rogan. He's a really great guy, and he really has a heart for God, so it's going to be really amazing. November 5th and 6th is the Women's Conference with Starlene and Greg Martin here. I believe they're coming down from Tacoma, and they're going to have their own little conference for you guys, and it's going to be really cool. And we're having a trunk or treat again this year. We had an amazing turnout last year, which was really cool. Monday, October 31st. And what? Yeah, Halloween. and then I have my own little plug. Tonight at 7 p.m., we have a cabaret night, which is a whole bunch of musical numbers from different musicals. There is a little bit of language in some of the songs, but other than that, it's pretty appropriate for most families and people. It's going to be really good. We already had one showing, and we have another showing tonight at 7 p.m. So it's at Mount Hood Community College and the Studio Theater. There's a sign outside. It's next to the big theater if you've ever been anywhere on Mount Hood Community College campus. But it's going to be really good. So just let you guys know.
And you're in a number of the numbers, right? How many? All right. So free, and it's free. So tonight, if you're not doing anything, come over to Mount Hood Community College. It's 7. And the trunk or treat, Monday, October 31st, Troy and Maddie downstairs, they're actually teaching. They'll be the team lead on that. They'll be coordinating all that. So last year we had over 250 people show up, and it was amazing. If it's raining, we'll do it inside. If it's not raining, we'll do a combination of inside-outside. But it's really fun. So we would love everybody to run a booth or decorate a car. And let's really fill the parking lot, and let's really invite the community in. We do it in conjunction with Gresham's downtown Halloween Alternative. They pass out candy. So people actually, we went there last year, passed out flyers, so people came across the street in our building as well. Mostly last year because it was raining so hard, if you remember. Like it was a river, and we gave away so much hot coffee and hot chocolate. Everybody was like, warmth. So let's just pray for rain, I guess, right? Awesome. And take out your phones, like us on Facebook, and check in today as we introduce our guest speaker, the amazing Don Self, is coming to this message has been on his heart for a long time, and he's been working on it for a long time. This whole 2 weeks here is going back to church, so we're talking about better together and loving our church and becoming part of our church and how important it is to be part of community. So, Don, we love you, man. Go for it.
Morning, everybody. Thanks for that applause. I feel like a celebrity. Wendy, thank you for sharing your story this morning. I think it's important that we share our stories with one another, right? It's important to let people know, connect with people. That's what makes us a community. That's what makes us a church, so thank you. I want to thank Pastor Bob and Sibylle for allowing me to share my heart this morning. And hopefully when we leave here today, we'll all have a better understanding of the importance of community and being a part of the body of Christ. But for those of you who don't know me or don't know me very well, my name is Don Self, and I am the worship leader here at City Park Church. And this is my church. This is my home away from home, where I come to be encouraged and where I come to encourage. So, this morning, we're going to get to know each other a little bit better. Can we do that? Let's get to know each other a little bit better. And so, I'm going to throw you a little bit of a curveball here this morning. You see, when you're in a relationship, you've got to be willing to be disappointed from time to time. You see, for 27 years, my wife has asked me to not use her dish towels to clean up my messes. Anybody relate to that? Just look at that baby. See the stains? Well, that's all me. But I'm sad to say that I am still a work in process. Okay? And so I want to give you just a few examples of what it might look like when I'm caught in the act. Can we do that? I'm going to go. Let's go ahead and throw up one of the pictures here. All right. So obviously I'm surprised, right? But church, I need you to understand something, okay? When you're a man, it's important to keep your motorcycle looking shiny. All right? It's important. And so I try to relate that, but listen, there's something wrong with that picture, isn't there? Because I've been asked something. Let's go ahead and move on to the next image if we could. Ha! Now here I am. I've just spent the last 2 hours at the gym, right? My wife catches me at the door while I walk into the house, and there I am, and I'm thinking to myself, but honey, it's important to be in good health, and I'm just trying to look good for my lady, right? Uh-huh. Excuses, excuses, excuses. Let's go ahead and move on to the next one. Uh-huh. Now, we can all relate to this one, right? It's important, right? Good maintenance is important. Here I am, checking the fluids in my vehicle, making sure that my vehicle is in good running order for my family. So I'm justified here. I'm taking care of family business, right? Absolutely. Let's go ahead and move on to the next picture. All right. I'm not exactly sure why this one made the cut. But obviously, I'm coming out of the bathroom here. I'm totally caught by surprise. And I'm not going to get into this picture very much, so we're going to go ahead and just move on. All right. Poor Don. Okay. He's got a fever, obviously. The chills. Running this crazy temperature. And he's got a stuffy nose. And I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and I'm gonna take advantage of this baby because I'm going to try to save us a little extra money on tissues, right? Just trying to think of my family's well-being, think of our finances first. And so, you know, but once again, I'm caught in the act. Let's go ahead and move on to the next picture if I could. Aha, look how proud I look, right? I'm doing my wife a solid here. I'm polishing the silver, right? Totally justified because I'm doing something for my honey. Uh-huh. Let's move on to the next one. Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. How many of you know that good hygiene is a good idea even for a cat? Right? I'm taking care of my cat. We all know that cleanliness is next to godliness. And so, you know, just trying to take care of the cat. Do we have one more? Nope, that's all. All right. So just thought I'd share a little bit with you on those moments when I was caught doing something maybe I shouldn't have been doing. I had good intentions, church, totally good intentions, but poor execution. You know what my wife says? Listen, you know what my wife says when she finds me with one of these? And this is true, okay? This is true. She says, well, I guess I'm just gonna go have to buy some new furniture now. And I'm, really, right? And I'm thinking to myself, what? New furniture? Why don't you just jump in the car, drive on over to Macy's and pick yourself out a winner, right? New furniture? That's crazy. Go ahead and find the best, most beautiful dish towel you can find. But church, after 27 years, the woman deserves some new furniture. And the women said, amen, Brother Don, amen. Hallelujah. But listen. When you love someone, when you're in a committed covenant relationship with someone, you've got to be willing to be disappointed from time to time, or you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You see, grace doesn't just cover a multitude of sins. It covers every single one of them, doesn't it? You see, I'm talking about relationship here. I'm talking about loving people. I'm talking about grace this morning, church. You see, for 27 years, this towel has tried to bring division between my wife and I. But I'm happy to say that after almost 3 decades, we are still going strong despite my dirty towel problem. Maybe in your home or in your relationships, the towel isn't dirty at all. Maybe it's just not the right color or the right type or make or brand, or maybe, just maybe, there are a few holes that haven't been mended yet. You see, it's so lazy of us to simply look at the outside and just see the stains. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. So if you could fly that for me this morning, that would be great. Go ahead and turn to your Bibles. This is what it says. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And here's my favorite. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love, 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 love. Love, love. It goes on to say, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. You see, we can form opinions about others based on what we see, and we're all guilty of this. I don't really like how they parent. I don't agree with it, because that's not how I would do it. Or, I don't think that they handle their money quite right. That's not how I would do it. Or, I don't think they could have done, or I think they could have done a better job, or maybe they just didn't even bother to show up. I guess they just don't care enough. My point is this, church. Disappointment, misunderstanding, and disagreements will come. But try this. Be kind. Be loving. Be compassionate. Be understanding. Be forgiving. Because everyone you know is fighting a battle or struggling with something you may know nothing about. Maybe it's time that we get to know each other a little better, whatever the laundry looks like. Maybe it's time that we trust one another's relationship with God, even when it doesn't look like ours. You see, if we're going to help anybody, it must come from a heart of compassion, grace, and not judgment. You see, it's easy to pass judgment, but judgment will always elevate us above somebody else. I'm not saying that we excuse one another if something needs to be dealt with or addressed or cleaned up in front of us and love like Jesus loves. Love like Jesus loves. You see, Jesus, remember, he came to us. He lived among us. He gave himself for us while we were yet dirty. Now think about this. It doesn't matter how gifted you are, how talented you are, what position you hold, how much money you make, what family you're from, what sins you've committed, what PhD you've completed, what community service you're involved in, if you have a home or you live on the street, if you're a new believer or a seasoned veteran, if you're washed clean, white as snow, or you're covered with stains, we are all equal in the eyes of God. We all need one another, and we all desperately need Jesus. Romans 3:23 says this. It says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Ephesians 2:8 says this. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." You see, not one of us is exempt from our need for a Savior. That means that we are all in the same boat, church. That we're in this thing together. And so this morning, I'm going to prove to you that we're better together. In fact, if you could go ahead and fly that better together picture. I love this image. If you were to show up on Sunday morning before service, you'll find us all downstairs praying, okay? And at the end of our prayer, we always either give a praise to God or we all come in all hands together in the center. And you know what that signifies? That signifies that each of us, and that we're in this thing together. So I want to start out this morning by teaching you a little bit about the wisest man who ever lived. Anybody know who that was? Go ahead and give me a hand. Wisest man. Go ahead, Carol. King Solomon. So here we go. King Solomon was the second son of King David and Bathsheba. Solomon wrote three books. Anybody know what those three books are? Anybody in the house? Pastors, anybody? Okay, so the three books in the Bible are these. The Song of Songs, the Book of Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. King Solomon was the third king of Israel, and he reigned for 40 years. King Solomon possessed great wisdom granted to him by God. He was a prolific writer, a poet, and a scientist. His skills in architecture and management turned Israel into the showplace of the Middle East. As a diplomat, he made treaties and alliances that brought peace to his kingdom. King Solomon had his hands in everything. Everything. He was a big deal back then, wasn't he? And so here you have the wisest man who ever lived, filled with the wisdom of God, and he wrote this. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10. It says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help, but someone who falls alone is in real trouble. You see, God never meant for us to be alone. In fact, it says right here that we are better off together. Together. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself this morning. I'm going to tell you a little bit about how I was raised when I lived with my parents. Now, I touched on this a little bit a month or two ago when we did the question and answer time back here, if you remember that. It was after I came back from Montana. My father had a stroke, and it nearly killed him, and it should have killed him. But I went to Montana, and I was there to help my family out. And just to kind of give you a report, my father is doing fantastic. He's mowing the lawn. He's dressing himself. He's making his own meals. He's actually back at work for 2 hours a day. So praise God. What a miracle. Hallelujah. So to get back into this, you can count the number of times my parents invited someone into their home on one hand. One hand. And so being better together is actually a revelation from God in my life. Because I wasn't raised that way, church. I wasn't raised with this common knowledge held by the church concerning the importance of community. I didn't grow up with this church, with this at all, church. And for the entirety of my upbringing, my family, what my family did was they actually kept me from experiencing the value of people. My father, he was an outdoorsman. He was a hunter and a fisherman. And I remember being out with my dad. And if we ran into another hunter, or if we just happened to be on the same lake that somebody else was fishing on, then it would completely and totally ruin his whole experience. You see, it's because he got used to being alone. He got used to it. It was a common thing. You see, my father never learned the value of people. He never learned the value of relationship. Like the value of my relationship, say, with Pastor Bob. He is a strong leader. He's an adventurer. And he's a risk taker. And because of my relationship with him, I take more risks. And I step out and I do things that I wouldn't normally do. Like what I'm doing right now. But because of my relationship with him, I'm able to do that. I'm a stronger man. I'm a better man because of my relationship with him. My relationship with Pastor Sibylle. Okay. Pastor Sibylle, I love this about her. She always has a word of truth. Always. All the time. And for everyone. I love that. And at the drop of a hat, I've never met anybody like this. At the drop of a hat, she'll hit her knees and she'll pray for you. Right? And I'll be in the middle of a conversation with her, and all of a sudden she goes into prayer, and I don't know where the conversation ended and the prayer began. I love that. I pray more because of my relationship with her. And I love truth. And she encourages me to pursue truth. The Bell family. Where's the Bell family? Are they in here this morning? I love the Bells. Faithful, faithful, faithful people. Okay? And I love their relationship in their family. They love one another. They support one another. They're always doing and working for one another. I'm a better husband. I'm a better father because of my relationship with the Bell family. Hallelujah. Who else can I pick on? How about this young lady? I love Brittany's heart for intimacy with the Father and worship. Okay? And for a guy, sometimes it's difficult to enter into that intimacy, you guys, because we're dudes, right? But because of my relationship with Brittany, I take that extra step sometimes. And I enter into the presence of the Father, and I'm able to sit on Papa's lap. As a man, I can do that because of her heart and her intimacy with God and worship. I love that about Brittany. But I wasn't raised knowing the value of relationship. And so I became a loner and an outcast at a young age. An outcast because I didn't know how to enter into relationship outside of my immediate family. I was the kid, right, who at school on the playground, I'd go and I'd play on the swing set by myself. And if there were just, I was the kid who would look for that empty bus seat, right? And if there were no empty bus seats, I almost had a heart attack because it meant I had to sit next to somebody. I was the kid who struggled in school because, church, I didn't know how to ask for help. You see, my solitude became my hiding place. Right? Away from everybody else. And this culture was passed down from one generation to the next in my family. Until one day, something amazing happened. Changing happened. I met Jesus. And he was about to rock my world, church. You see, you can't have God without people and without relationship. You see, King Solomon knew the value of people working together, living out their lives together, united in their faith. And today, we call that the church. And so God rescued me from a life of solitude, and I stepped into this wonderful community called the church. At first, I was overwhelmed by y'all, okay? Not y'all, y'all, because when I was saved, I was much younger and I lived someplace else, but I was overwhelmed. But for the first time in my life, I was liking it. I was liking it. And I began to experience what I had been missing. Now, it was still scary because everybody wanted to get to know this guy. Okay? But I began to flourish under relationship. And I learned how to trust God, and I started trusting people. Now, here's the tricky part. Here's the sticky part. Because of sin, we are all broken. Yes, we're saved. And yes, there is redemption and there is restoration. But this is a process, okay? So we can be a little bit messy. We can be a little bit messy. Now, it was several years later that I learned just how messy people could be. Now, I'm just being real, guys. I'm just being transparent, okay? And I'm including myself because I can be a little bit messy. It wasn't a healthy place. But because I was a new believer, I thought I was safe in God's house. But the enemy had crept in, and he made a mess out of things. It was at this church that I learned about the enemy, that he is ruthless, that he is filled with anger and hate, that he is a divider, and he is bent on destroying the church. It started first from the top and filtered its way down. And it brought with it deception and lies, pitting one person against another. It led to mental, physical, and sexual abuses. And it was all done in the name of Jesus. And when there was so much finally cleared, so much damage, and I went through a season, years, where I hated the church. And I was so angry. So, Don, why are you telling us about this morning if the title of your message is Better Together? We are better together. But there is one fact that we need to understand as believers, and that is that we have an enemy. And so we can't let down our guard. And his one goal is to divide the church and get us to focus on the dirt and not grace. Tension. You see, we need to fix our eyes, our attention on Jesus, and keep them there, because only Jesus can help us recognize the dirt so we can cut through it. But it takes brave communication, it takes transparency, and above all, it takes trust. It takes trust. But church, I'm here to testify to you this morning that it was in this church where I found my healing. In fact, it was in this church that God mended my broken heart and restored my faith and love for his house. It was in this church that I discovered the real meaning of family, people who truly care for one another, pastors who are committed to loving God and loving people. The testimony of everyone that walks through these doors is how this church feels like home, feels like family, and I believe there's a reason for that. I believe it is spoken from the mouths of our new members and our guests. You see, there are a lot of lonely, broken people who need a place to call home. A place where they find healing, hope, love, and fellowship. There is a right way and there is a wrong way to do church. And I'm a little older and I'm a little wiser now. And I know a good church when I see it. And I know that truth and grace must be at the heartbeat of a healthy church. I have learned the importance of brave communication and courageous listening. Without it, there is no trust. And we can't deal with the dirt if there is no trust. I understand the value of everyone in the house and that we are all sinners saved by grace. I am also aware of the enemy, that he is a manipulator, a deceiver, and we are only better together when Jesus. Matthew 14, 22 through 33, if you can turn to your Bibles. This is after Jesus had just finished feeding the 5,000 and he was dispersing the crowd, and he asked his disciples to go ahead and get in the boat and get to the other side of the lake, okay? While Jesus went about his business. This is where Jesus walks on the water. We know the story. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land. Buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. Jesus cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I want to challenge us to look at this story a little differently this morning. You see, there were plenty of options available to Jesus, right? He's the Son of God, right? Plenty of things that Jesus could have done here. But look what it says. It says he brought Peter back to the boat. You guys see the significance? You see, Jesus could have taken Peter by the hand and simply walked him to the other side. They were already out of the boat anyway. He could have calmed the storm right then and there and walked Peter to the other side of the lake. There was no need for them to get back in the boat. I believe that Jesus was making a point here. Number one, Jesus could have shown Peter favoritism and walked him across. "Look at Peter, his courage to step out of the boat and come to me," while the others stayed on board. But Jesus, listen, Jesus was concerned for all of them. We are all equal in the eyes of God. He doesn't have any favorites, and he wanted to show everyone that we are in this thing together. Here's something else. Jesus waited to stop the storm until they were all together again. It says right here, Scripture says it. First, they got back in the boat, and then Jesus stopped the storm. You see, there is safety, there is protection, and there is power when believers stick it out together. I think that Jesus wanted his disciples to see the importance of unity, the importance of community, and the importance of God's power and presence when believers are together in one place. You see, Jesus was teaching about the church long before the church even existed. He could have turned the world upside down all by himself. But he chose 12 men, a community, to help him. Strength. You see, he demonstrated that where there is unity, come together and stay together. Stay together. I want to exhort you this morning that if this is your church, whether you've been here for 20 years or a week, if this is your church, and when you walked in here, you felt this is home, this is family, then church, stay in the boat. Stay in the boat. If the storm is raging and the waves are crashing, stay in the boat. You're not going to make it alone. Just ask Peter. The person who falls alone is in real trouble. We have far too many people in the church today jumping ship and throwing in the towel over minor disagreements and offenses. Or maybe the grass is just greener on the other side. Wherever you go. So talk it out. Work it out. See it through. And call a spade a spade. About a year ago, God laid on my heart this idea of brave communication. And so I wrote something and I posted it online. And it's appropriate this morning, so I want to read it again. It says, sometimes with brave communication comes courageous listening. I think it's important to recognize that healthy communication begins and ends with trust. When we are afraid of getting hurt, we shield our hearts from those who love us most. When we are afraid of hurting someone we love, we hold back our words so not to offend. You see, without trust, relationships can't get past the word go. The bottom line is this: we must be strong enough in the Lord to receive good counsel and care enough to bravely give it. Proverbs 11:14 says it this way. It says, without good direction, people lose their way. The more wise counsel you follow, the better your chances. See, I love my church. Don't ever think that your church and your place in it isn't worth fighting for. Stay in the boat. You see, for 27 years, church, my wife has not, or has asked me to not use her dish towels to clean up my messes, but I'm still to this day working on it. I'm still 27 years, you're thinking, 27 years? 27 years, yeah. My point is, I still haven't got it right. When you're in a committed covenant relationship with someone, you've got to be willing to be disappointed from time to time. But you know what the key is? You work it through. You work it through. You communicate. You give it to God, and you allow Him to bring healing in the relationship. Whether it be your spouse or your family or your church, give it to God and work it out. You see, I'm talking about loving people. I'm talking about grace. We're in this thing together. But church, we're not perfect, right? There's not one of us in here that's perfect. We are being perfected. And that can be messy. And that's okay. It's okay to be a little bit messy. That means we're getting somewhere. That means we're getting somewhere. If someone was to ask me today, wait a minute. I'm going to get back to that. It's a process, church. Restoration is a process. We form relationships that are not easily shaken, and we become a team, a community, a family that the rest of the world, when they see it, longs to be a part of. And so the church grows because people are loving people. You see, the world doesn't know how to see past this, okay? But when they see a healthy church, they're drawn to it. Why? Because this can be lonely. This can be painful. This can be exhausting. And if someone was to ask me if I would be willing to trade my disappointments, my hurts that have taken place in my relationships for a do-over, I would say no way. Not a chance. Because it is in the struggle, it is in the journey that has made me appreciate the depths of God's grace and the value of people worth fighting for. The value of doing ministry and life together. You see, when it comes to relationship, we need to look at our greatest example, Jesus, who was able to look through the dirt and love us anyway. You see, Jesus, He came to earth, right? And He loved us. He cared for us. He laughed with us. He cried with us. And He saved us. While we were still wearing this. Right? So this morning, if you're struggling with trust in relationships, and believe me, I know what it's like, then I want to encourage you this morning to lay your heart in the care of His grace. And get your eyes off the dirt, okay? Lay your heart in His care. Now, I know that we all struggled in relationship. I'm not talking about y'all. But we've struggled in relationship. And maybe in your life, you're still trying to get past the dirt. And so this morning, This morning I want to ask you to let's together help one another to see past all of this. And let's together just spend some time laying those things down. Laying those difficulties, those struggles, those disagreements, those issues that we carry, let's lay them aside and help one another rest our hearts in God's grace, right? It's His grace that makes us better together. It's not because we're perfect or we've achieved anything. It's the grace of God that unites the hearts of the church. And so this morning, if you're struggling with those issues, if you have some hurts and pains from your past, I had to deal with them, church. What brought healing in my life was people loving people. It was this house that made me remember the value of God and people who truly care and trust and love one another. And when you have that inside, it's so much easier to lay it down and trust. Trust God to take care of it. I struggled for years to get through it. One day, my daughter brings an invite to the Easter celebration that we have every year, and we stepped into a church. And when I walked through the doors, I knew it was my home. I knew it was my family. That's what happens when you feel the presence of God in a room. Everything changes. Everything melts away. So this morning, if you're struggling inside with past relationships or hurts or issues, maybe even with church, past churches, then I believe that this morning is your day. This morning is your time to lay it down and trust your heart in God's hands and see what He does. I still have friends today that are still separated from the church because of pain. But thank God that He pulled me in and rescued me. Because I can't imagine a life spent where I see nothing but this. There's so much pain, so much loneliness, so much hurt. When you can't see past this and love like Jesus loves. So I'm going to ask, church, if you're struggling this morning with these relationships, trust me, all of us do. All of us. Because we can be messy. I'm going to ask you to come forward and together, let's lay our hearts down, surrender them to God, and let Him bring healing and life back into our hearts and in those relationships. Now, church, I understand that there are some relationships where it's just not healthy to reconnect with those individuals. But let me tell you what is healthy. When you lay your heart down in God's care and His grace, don't let something that maybe can't be mended hold you back from your freedom. So this morning, come forward, church. I'm going to be standing up here too, because sometimes those thoughts come back into my head and I have to fight them away, because the enemy wants to bring division and hurt and solitude back into my life. But I'm not going to let him have it. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm not going anywhere. So this morning, please come forward and let's pray together. I know I'm not the only one that's had to deal with relationships. I know I'm not the only one that has had to deal with these struggles. It's okay to come up here. Yeah.
I think we should all stand up, because we all need him to reveal himself as our best friend. Thank you for being courageous. I think all of us need to bring our heart today and let Jesus love on us and heal us. Anybody that's alive has been disappointed and has been a disappointment. We all have. So use this moment and forgive from your heart and let go and let Jesus be a healer and restorer of your dreams and relationships, because he is good. He's here. He's powerful. He is truth. He is love. He is all that you long for deep inside. And though we build those walls because we've been hurt or we have sinned against others, he is the only one through his blood that can reach deep, forgive, and help us let go and walk free out of this place today. Free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So I encourage you, why don't we all step forward? Why don't we all show God we mean business today and we want him? So I just encourage you this morning, let's these steps forward. Let this be our willingness to say, I'm in God. I'm walking into that freedom that you have provided on the cross. I'm willing to let go and I'm willing to receive from you this morning. Thank you. Thank you, church. Thank you, church. God is so good. We release the power of God right now to restore what the enemy has stolen. We bind the lies of the enemy in deception about church or people. And we thank you, Father God, that you renew into us a new picture of what you are as the head and we are as the body. We can only function wholly when we're connected to you, connected to one another. In the name of Jesus, we speak unity to this house and freedom and healing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your anointing to break the yoke of the bondages that are resembled here. We say, enough is enough, enemy. No more bondage. We speak freedom, the only freedom that comes through the name and the blood of Jesus Christ over this house and everybody in it. And we thank you, Father God, for freedom right now. Flow, Holy Spirit. We release the power of God over this place in a mighty way, in a beautiful way, in a restoring way, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your good work you have done on the cross and doing in me and us right now, in Jesus' name. Because we can love truly because he loved us first. So receive. We bind the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. We break that wall. And we thank you, Father God, that your love ministers healing right now. Right now. Restore old paths. Restore the way back into your house and into fellowship and relationship with you first, Jesus, and with one another. Because we love you first and we're called to love one another pure-heartedly, despite our failings and our mistakes and our self-centeredness. We thank you that you're bigger than all of this. And you say, your grace is new. Your grace is new every day. And we will walk in it by faith and trusting in you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. this Friday, we were at a reception with a couple. She was 93. It was her birthday. He was 94. They were married for almost 72 years. And we sat next to him. And we were in awe because we talked with them for like an hour, asking them questions about their life. And she was forgetting a few things, but she remembered many details of her past. And we asked questions, you know, about, Sibylle asked, what's the secret, you know? What's the secret? I mean, almost married, you know, we thought we were proud almost next year, 25 years, Dawn 27, they're going to be like, they're working on 75, you know? He was a pilot in World War II, and he was on his way to Europe, and on his way, as he was flying there, the war had ended, so he didn't have to go. I guess literally the plane turned back around, the war ended, and she repeated that over and over again. She was so thankful for that, they had five children. One of them was killed in a car accident years ago. So these are some major events that you could tell affected her life. But one of the things that we noticed about them was how sweet they were to each other. You know, even though she was a little bit forgetful, she didn't remember it was her birthday like three or four times. She goes, oh, it's my birthday. And he was so sweet to her, you know. And he said, I'm sorry that we're dominating the conversation. We're like, no, keep talking, you know, because it was so interesting. You know, you don't have a marriage of almost 75 years and allow the minor things to turn into major things. And that's really the key, is not allowing minor issues that could be communicated to so easily and avoiding those minor issues that turn into big issues that never get resolved and splits us up from relationships that could enhance our lives and thrust us forward in our relationships. So when it comes to church, I know it can be hurtful. You know, there's no doubt about it. We're not denying that fact. But it's so much better when you work things out. And just love on people. Except the dirty rags, right? That is so funny, because if you looked in our drawer of dish towels, there's holes and they don't match. And it's embarrassing, you know. There may be one nice one. But you see, Don, you have to learn that when you actually use one of them, you throw it away afterwards, right? But I know Kara, she probably has them all counted, you know? So I just want to encourage you as we end that, Don, it was awesome. It was really awesome. So thank you. Thank you. That the next step is the next step class. The reason why we do that is for unity, where we discuss the vision of the church. And it's still open at 3:30. It's at our house. So still open to come. I got many books printed. Come to the class. Hang out with us for a couple hours at our house, and it'll be fun together. Okay? So turn to somebody. Give them a hug. Go to somebody. Tell them you forgive them today. You know? Restore relationships. Encourage one another. Give somebody an uplifting word, and thank you so much for coming.